Go ahead. We were talking about where we use our content to amplify what we want to say.
Right. So it occurred to me as, and I heard, I can't take credit for it, but someone said, if you're a writer and you're writing your material and putting it on Facebook, why are you giving your content for free to Mark Zuckerberg? And I think that's absolutely true.
Yeah. So I actually don't look at it that way. And here's why. You have to actually dissect what that means. Like, I think to say, why are you giving your content to Mark Zuckerberg? If you're doing it the right way, using Facebook, you're not giving it to him. If you're doing it the right way, you're writing it on your own website so that you own the original content and you also have it live somewhere. You're using Mark Zuckerberg as a billboard. You're really not, he doesn't own it.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I think you're right about that. And I've done it for years. I'm really throwing stones in a glass house here. I've done exactly the same thing. I think the point, though, is, and this happens other times, so like if you write for a, for instance, a site that is getting ad revenue, okay,
Right.
and they say to you, I'd love, Dr. Leaf, I'd love you to write for me, but I can't pay you, but I'll give you exposure. I've had this happen over and over again. Well, they're
Oh.
making revenue on that.
Yes. So I love that you said that. 100%. So everybody who is listening to this should consider that, right? That there's like diseases, there's risks and benefits to what
Right.
we take, just like we take medication. There's risks and benefits. There's risks and benefits to publishing your content on someone else's site. So my advice is actually that you're right. When you publish on someone else's site, they're taking your intellectual property and they're using it to their advantage to maybe get sponsorship money or get ad money. But that's why, for me, it's important that, for example, SomiDocs, we allow at this point in time, we allow recycling. Now, it depends on the site that's going to take your content and use it for ad revenue, because you and I both know that if our piece made it to the New York Times,
Right.
that we would be okay with them making ad revenue off of it because of their audience. So there's like this ratio that you have to consider of what power does the company have that's owning your content if they are asking you for exclusivity versus no exclusivity, and you basically taking a piece that's really, really powerful and recycling it on the different platforms that exist. If you could get it on the New York Times, go ahead, but just make sure that you're not signing for exclusivity. If you're signing for exclusivity, then you should think about the ad revenue that someone's making. But if you're not signing for exclusivity, then it can only help you to get the word out for your content and get you growing.
I think that's very true. And I guess maybe I speak from the perspective of having written for a very long time for multiple outlets and
Love it.
having been paid to do that, right? So
Yes.
I reached a point many years ago where I was paid, and so I consider myself a part-time professional writer. And so when someone comes to me and says, I want your content, but I can't give anything for it, I'll think about it. It depends on the venue. But
Totally.
if the New York Times wants it, that's great.
Right.
But
So
not every. Not every.
that's exactly how I feel. And I've been in your shoes as well. I mean, my job at this point is an entrepreneur. I have my own startup, so I don't have time to write, but I have definitely been paid really nicely for my writing. And it's a path I could have taken. I think once we're in a position where we're offered that, it's a whole different ballgame. Although even then, you've got to sort of figure out the time commitment that it takes to write an article. Because even if someone pays you let's say like $1,000 for an article, well, what's the word count? And how much prep did it take to create it? And how many hours did you put into it? Because if it takes you 20 hours, then really you're making $50 an hour. And it depends on the reach of the outlet, et cetera. So I'm with you. I think it's great when someone pays you. Usually when someone pays you, it's for exclusivity. Usually, really, if they're paying you, they're not expecting you to then go and like give it to any other outlet. So again, you have to consider the negatives of it. Like if it's a really powerful piece and they're not giving you enough money, but they have a great reach, then it might be worth it. But if their reach isn't great and they're not paying you enough money, then it might be worth to take that incredible piece and, like I said earlier, like recycle it on
Yes.
outlets that just have a lot of reach, and you could do like different ones, and you could still post it on your website and blog to build your portfolio.
I 100%. That's right. And I think for people who enter this arena as physicians who are new to that whole world, who are new to writing and communicating, then they're just going to have to accept the fact that's how it's going to be for a while. You have to build audience, and more
Totally.
importantly, you have to build your skill set and your voice, and that takes time.
100%. When I started out, I wrote terribly, and I'm not the world's best writer now either, but I think I've really grown into my authentic style where my audience at least knows what they're getting and they appreciate it.
Right. That's right. It is an interesting thing as a side to see some physicians I know who want to do this. And I've had this conversation before and I'll talk to them and I'll say, what do you like to read? They say, well, I don't like to read at all. And I think maybe you should start. This might be, if you want to be a writer, it would be very helpful to have, tell me what your favorite authors are. Tell me your favorite books. I mean, tell me these things so we can get an idea. Because up until that point, if you just think you're going to take the skill of being a physician and that's going to automatically transmit into communication, that's utterly untrue. I mean, how many physicians do we meet in practice who are terrible communicators?
No, I 100% agree. I think communication is key. I think, by the way, that's why I also built a lecture for my members on communication. I think communication is everything, but I do think that it's important to read. I do challenge just a little bit of that in that today, in the world of today, you can get a lot of reading done when you're online. So sure, like maybe a Facebook post is not the same as reading, but I think when you click into the articles and you're sort of reading it, right? I mean, it's different. It's a journalistic style of communication than like if you're writing a book. So it really does depend on what your endpoint goal is. If we want to be a Dr. Edwin Leap and actually get paid for our writing, then we need to think about more journalistic style of communicating as opposed to a book where it's up to you to, you know, first person narrative, third person narrative, however you want to build it.
No, I think you learn style by reading style, right? You learn syntax and vocabulary by reading syntax and vocabulary. And something neurologically happens when you read as opposed to say looking at a video. I like audiobooks, don't get me wrong. I listen to podcasts all the time. Those are all genuinely valuable, but there is something I think different that happens if you are a writer who doesn't like to read at all, you may need to revisit that. That's all I would say. You know, but
yeah, I like that a lot. We were talking before we recorded, and I wanted to just come back to that. We were talking about building a space about nowadays how physicians are just realizing that they have voices. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are finding those voices, but aren't sure how to grow those voices.
Right.
And I think I was explaining to you about what I've built to be different than existing spaces. So for example, I was saying that Medium is an example of a space where you can write and there's a lot of people there, very similarly to Facebook, but no one's going to promote that or market it for you except for you. And that's the difference. Now, Facebook has already monetized on it in that it will market your piece for you if you pay for ads. That's essentially what that is.
That's right.
Right. But Medium doesn't even have that option. So really Medium counts on you spreading that article for them and bringing eyeballs to them. So you're essentially doing that. You're writing to someone else for someone else to make ad revenue. SomiDocs is what I built is completely transparent in that. Sure. We need money to grow. Money is what makes digital companies, you know, go around and grow.
Right. Right.
But we're also marketing with you. We're co-marketing. So like the really cool thing is we've grown over 40,000 followers for SomiDocs. And so when, let's say, Dr. Edwin Leap decides to, you know, be really great and write for us, let's say an article, and we beautify it. First of all, we hope to impress him because it really is cool looking. And then secondly, when he shares it with his audience and tags us so we see it, then we share it with our audience. And that we call co-marketing, and that we can really share audiences, get people to see, hey, this is Dr. Edwin Leap and his ideas. He's really worth a follow, and they can follow you in your space. And people can also see us by your sharing and say, wow, doctorsonsocialmedia.com is really a cool place. Maybe I need to follow that, if that makes sense.
Right. Exactly. I think that's a great thought. Like I said, it's just all networking. I mean, if you don't have that, nowadays you don't grow. I mean, there was a time in the old days of writing when it was subscribership with newspapers and magazines and it was inched along, but now the only way really is to make lots of web connections.
I love that. And I love web connections. And actually we met on LinkedIn, and LinkedIn is absolutely my favorite platform to meet others.
That's interesting. I have the person who for years did my website. He said, I hate Facebook, but I really honestly dig LinkedIn.
I think it's really, to me, in my experience, everyone's different, but it's the most professional platform. Mm-hmm. I find that it's less like fluff, and it's less, I feel like on my feed, it's a lot more interesting. Maybe I'm business oriented, and that's why, because I really want to grow. And I think even growing as a professional, even if it's professional development wise, I think you still don't necessarily want to see like the jokes and the what are people doing this moment. That's more the social aspect of social media and of like Facebook and a lot of times Instagram, whereas LinkedIn has kept to that professional space. And, you know, and I think they curate it that way. They don't have like a, I'm feeling blank or I'm at this point right now. And, or like in this location, because they don't have it, people really do use it like for straight out professional exchanges. So I'm drawn to that.
I think that that turns the temperature down as well. So you just don't see the inflammatory exchanges on. You'll see a couple arguments here and there, but they're very constrained and not this wildly crazy. You know, like it's nothing like Twitter, which is just endless fury. And I can't even.
I was thinking of Twitter next to say, to compare it to. Twitter is probably, I mean, I'm on it. I would hate to lose my Twitter followers for saying this, but I don't love Twitter for that reason. I think, first of all, how can we say something in 280 characters and properly convey who we are? And you have a lot of like canceling. You have cancel cultures there.
That's crazy.
Yeah, like you can't say anything without getting in trouble. And God forbid you use a word wrong or you say something which is misinterpreted. And like everyone loves twisting each other's words there. And I just find it extremely non-professional.
Oh, I got off Twitter a couple of years ago after a column I wrote for EM News made some people very angry. And it was actually kind of satirical. and I just said, I can't anymore because I was compared to Nazis. It was just this ridiculous behavior, this infantile behavior, really.
Yeah.
And so I just closed my account. I went back on recently just to see what would happen and nothing's happening with it. It's not worth my time to work on it right now. Maybe later. Maybe
later. I'm with you. My Twitter account, listen, it's growing. I have a lot of followers, but they're not active with my account. But that's again, because I don't, you know, the people that are most active get the most engagement when you're just constantly like tweeting things out.
Right.
For me, I use it as another billboard. To me, like, and if you've heard, if any of you that are listening have heard my lectures, like I liken social media to billboards where like the central space is the most important space and that's your website. But then all the social media platforms just work as a billboard to bring everybody back to you.
And if you get 10 visits from one and 100 from another, over time it amplifies. And at one point you'll hit a big one and they'll say, hey, this, and then explodes. And you'll have these big, you know, I don't know if you, there's a website I follow, it's called Instapundit, and it's a political cultural, but if they tag your column, people call it an Insta launch, and you'll instantly get 100,000 views. And one time it crashed my server. I mean, it's over one that's column. Awesome. And then it kind of went back down again, but that's okay. That's what it, because you'll pick up a few permanent followers there.
Yeah.
That's how that works, you know, up and down, up and down.
I like that you said that because I think people really don't get the whole like virality concept and going viral. It's more than, you know, some people, all they want to strive for is that. And, you know, you get on this high when you go viral, but there's that low when it follows. And a lot of those people just need that really quick fix. And so they got it from you and it made you viral, but they've moved on.
Right.
And that's you're no longer viral.
Right.
So, you know, and that's where like creating, curating space and presence for yourself that's really continuously viral, or at least bringing it down from viral to bringing it down to like more realistic followership.
I think a good word is consistent. Your readers need consistency. Yeah. And it may not be huge every time, but they know they get the same sort of content. And I thought about this recently because we're in this viral internet age. We think of the as success as writers, that sort of explosion. And look back to ancient times, the first printed books. People had, I mean, what, 1,000 people might read your book in a lifetime? Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, and those books were still wildly influential in culture and history, you know? And so the things we say will have impact, whether or not they have that kind of impact.
Yeah.
And if only because maybe your children and grandchildren will read them. I think about that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that we're now in like a more technologically advanced society where our writing is also showcased on social media. And so even that's going to live forever. And that's going to make impact in the same way that in the old days, it was just books that were used to make a splash and influence.
Right. Well, it's always fascinating when you look at like your web data. I know you do this and you'll see 10 people read your article in Burma, you know, and 3 people read it in Mongolia. And you're like, really?
That's awesome.
It's great, but I'm curious what led to that. I think that's sort of cool to see that, you know.
Yeah, it would be fun to create a television series where they followed the random, it would be like a Six Degrees of Kevin Bacon, where you're like, you know, what country will you end up in last?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Right?
Yeah.
You take like you and your article, Edwin Leap, and then you take the person, whoever in Mongolia that you just mentioned read it, Yeah. And then you take something else of theirs. Maybe they're now writing an article because you've influenced right. them, and take the person that's read it maybe in whatever, the Ukraine, because they, yeah. you know, would be interesting to see.
Right. So even little things can have influence like that. If you, you encourage one person, if you give that one person a new idea, that, that has such value outside of, you know, being viral, outside of being a huge presence, because most of us won't ever be.
This is totally. 100%. But listen, like also it's what it does for you. I mean, sometimes you can really make impact by influencing the 10 people that are in your community right. that right. really needed to hear what you had to say. You know, doctors have a specific patient load and they make their significance and their impact with the patients they see. It's sort of the same with your social media. You can impact as many people as you, you know, you put in the effort for, but sometimes it just takes a small amount to make a difference and to make you happy.
Perhaps the best thing I've ever read about writing was from Kurt Vonnegut.
Ooh.
And he said, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, you probably won't get rich as a writer, but at some point someone will say to you, I thought I was the only one who thought that.
Wow. That's powerful.
And that's really cool. I think about that a lot. You know,
I'll tell you what else is cool, that I produced a series just a few months ago, and I mentioned it earlier, with Samuel Shem, and Mark right. Vonnegut, Kurt Vonnegut's son, was a guest.
No kidding.
You might want to check that out. Yeah, I will link it to this video, actually. I will link it down here, because he actually was one of the most interesting guests I've ever, because I produce a lot of series I've ever introduced. And listening to him, he's a physician, he's a pediatrician, and listening to him talk about healthcare, first of all, he was so honest about the crap happening in healthcare.
And cut me off, and he said, all well and good, Dr. Vonnegut, but if the dollars work, nothing else matters. And
dollars work, nothing else matters, whether they'll take you under their wonderful wing or not, with the claws.
Right.
Yeah, that's.
It's also interesting that I had no choice.
But he made such fantastic points that it'll probably blow you away. So
that's really cool. That's awesome. How exciting! Yeah. I will definitely look that.
Awesome. Up. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Okay. Well, thanks so much. I'm going to say goodbye to those listening, and that's it.